Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
I bring you greetings from Apostle Mose and Pastor Ari. If that is how you receive greetings, eh? I said I bring you greetings from Apostle Mose and Pastor Ari. Oh, that's how we distribute greetings. They love you so much. Today they have gone for ministry in outside countries, but no worries, they have left their only begotten son. Yeah. So you're in good hands. Don't worry, by the time I'm done, you'll still be together. Your body won't be falling up. Amen. Are you excited to be here? All right, have your seats, please. So yesterday, I found a very good revelation from the Word. So they say childbirth is the most painful thing anyone can experience. Maybe I was too young to remember, but I don't think it hurt that much. Some people are not laughing. They're like, is this... We have begun. Amen. Right. Let's get into it. Recently I watched a documentary of the Reverend Billy Graham. And they were just talking about all the different things he did in his life. And I was amazed at how many leaders refer to him as pastor. He was a pastor to presidents. I was amazed at the kinds of convoys that led him into different countries when he was invited to preach, when in the 9/11 attack in the U.S., when they had one of those services to Bud, Okuda Buda, to comfort, yeah, to Bud, to comfort one another. He was picked out as the man who had the words of comfort while he was on earth. The guy was actually, he lived an honorable life. And then when he died, you heard the stories that were told by the guys who are even on the Senate, the presidents, and the one thing they all kept pointing out is that this was a man who lived for God. Even people who don't like really, really believe and live for God noticed that this is a guy who lived for God, right? That he laid down his life for the gospel, and he was honored. And I was looking at the kind of honor he received on earth, even in his death, and then I was imagining what it looks like in heaven when a man as such like that enters heaven, and then he says he sees millions of people that he helped get into the gates. Ah, I thought this is such a cool thing. So it's a cool thing. Yeah. One day when you get to heaven, may there be a line of people. Multitudes just standing there and saying, thank you for getting me in here. Yeah, the devil would have stolen me, but you got me in. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, so I was thinking about that, and it occurred to me that most of the times, if you don't see such stories, many times the gospel is not something that people would take as an honorable kind of thing, right? I don't think pastors are the most celebrated. At least if you check Twitter, you'll notice that they are not the most celebrated. In fact, they are the most attacked, and yet they do the most honorable job. You understand? That you're persecuted, you're abused, they do all sorts of things, but you still lay down your life for the same people that are persecuting you. It's amazing. It's the kind of thing that Jesus went through. Because if you think about it, this Jesus was God in flesh. That means he knew. He wasn't living life not knowing what might come up, you know. The Bible says that he endured the pain of the cross. I'm paraphrasing it. And the whole point is that it's in Isaiah 52, where he says that he saw his generation, he saw his posterity, and he was glad, and he endured because of the posterity. But I'm imagining, just beyond seeing the church, he had seen the people who would abuse him. He had seen the people who would put him in movies and misuse his name and blaspheme his name. He had seen how they would curse him out, how they would be like, he's not even real, he's not God, blah, 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 blah. And those are quite a number. That's quite a big category of people. And he still died for them. Do you understand? He still laid down his life for the ones who would curse him out, because he knew that at the end of the cursing, they are going to believe. You get what I'm saying? Oh yeah, that's how much he loves you. Yeah. That at the end of your unbelief and dismissing him as God, he's waiting, because you're going to come back. And when you come back like the prodigal son, he runs to you and embraces you, and you're there, forgive me, I have sinned. And he's like, no, just get the best garments, you know, and put them on this my child, for they were lost and now they are back. But you can see that he knew who would not believe and still died for those. You understand? So you may be sitting here and you think you're surprising God with all your funny sins, but he's not. He saw them and still died and paid for those sins, having seen them. Huh? You're still with me. Yeah, after you got saved, you thought now you were getting unsaved and falling out because you couldn't overcome that addiction. But he saw it. And he took care of it on the cross. What a sacrifice. What a love.
What a love, what a love, what a love. What a love, what a love, what a love. What a love, what a love, what a love, what a love. What a love, what a love.
I know. I'm saying. Anyway, he sacrificed knowing the people he was giving himself for. If it had been you, you most likely wouldn't have died. You'd be like, I'm going through all this for this one. You would see Hitler, then you'd be like, no. I'm not doing that. But he saw all that, and he still sacrificed. He still chose the narrow way. Yeah. 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 Think about the person you recently gave up on. A disciple, a friend. And then ask yourself, if Jesus was in my shoes. The Bible says, better love has none than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Yeah. Yeah. That's the definition of love. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That was Jesus' philosophy. Yeah. He came to lay down his life. So the whole time he lived on earth, he lived a life of just laying down his life. Yeah. He could have been partying and getting married and having many children. I don't know. He could have been doing all these things. But he saw your life and then noticed. Someone is trying to video my shoes. It's so funny. He saw your life. These are the ones I usually make jokes about. Those pastors, they put on sharp shoes and what? Today it's me, tomorrow it's you. May it be upon you in the name of Jesus. Anyway, he could have done many other things with his life. But he chose to live a life that would benefit you. Yeah. When he could have been sleeping, he was up in the mountain praying all night. Yeah. Yeah, when he could have been eating, he was out in the wilderness fasting, going hungry. Yeah, Paul says the same thing in fastings often, in stripes. Like I don't have to be, well, it's not like striped shirts. Like stripes as in beatings, yeah. When he says in stripes often. That he doesn't have to be beaten. But for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the church, he endures the beating. He endures the hunger. They endure the sleeplessness and all those kinds of things. And as a result, you are seated here. Yeah. Because if they hadn't endured, some of you would be the chief witch doctors in your clan. Even you know it. Yeah. Before they came and preached to you, you were on the journey. Yeah. People were worshiping you at 5 years old. You were being prepared. Yeah. Yeah. Your father was saying, "Mwana wange, wingenda gwagendo twale sabuli." That's sorry. Forgive my German. They had planned to hand the family business of the shrine and everything to you. Then you surprised them by getting saved.
What a surprise.
Then you come to church and you don't even want to dance during praise and worship. You don't know what Jesus saved you from. Yeah. Some people here, you'd already be having grandchildren at like 22. I don't know how possible that is. I've given birth at like 6. But Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so all the sacrifices, if you go back into church history and see how people were fed to lions and they refused to deny the name of Christ, how people were crucified, some people were boiled in, they were trying to do like a deep John Fry or something like that, boiled in boiling oil, something like that. And they refused to deny Christ. Because you think about it, if some of those had denied, the gospel wouldn't have made progress and advance. But they kept preaching, refusing to deny Christ, and you are here today. Because of that. I'm telling you. Yeah. Just one day, just sit down and imagine what life would be like without Jesus. Just imagine what the world would be like. Olaba now just with a... Sorry. You see now. I mean... Yeah, with even the church being present, there are a few things that corruption, I don't know what, people killing, but it's not as bad because the church is around. So there are people who would have been worse, but they are in church today. You know, there are people who would have impregnated all your daughters, but they are in church today. Yeah. But now imagine if Jesus hadn't come. Some of you would be wife number 10. You understand? Yeah. But he gave himself for you. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 22, I think. Oh yeah. He says, "For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom." Verse 25 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." He says, we preach Christ crucified. Do you understand? And this Christ crucified is the power of God. That the power that you're experiencing now in your life, that is Christ. Because he was crucified. The sacrifice he's made released power into your life. You understand? You could have been dead and gone long ago, but the sacrifice he's made released healing into your life that certain sicknesses haven't taken you. Yeah, because you have the wisdom to stand on the word and say, not in my house. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Christ crucified. Then he says, to us who are called, he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. For many of you that are sitting in this house today, let me first read you a scripture in Philippians. Is it Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, if you could ever so kindly put it up so I can see if it's the... Oh yeah, it's the one. I don't have to look in my... It says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Next verse. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Which verse did we start at? 12. Go back to, first go to 8. If you press the arrow, that. 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, this I counted loss for Christ. Now, I wanted to get that verse before that verse 15, because when you go and read the whole context of that thing, he's talking about how he's counting everything that was gained to him. He starts out that chapter talking about how he was a Benjamite, the Jew of Jews. He was the law, he knew it, a Pharisee of Pharisees, Nebigenderako, and what goes with it. And then he comes here and says, what things were gained to me? Yeah, he says, I have counted loss. It's not that they were not gained to him. They were gain. Yeah, they gave him some status in society. Yeah, people would look at him and say, there is Paul, the man of God. He had convoys leading. And then he said, I have counted all these things loss for Christ. You understand? For the sake of preaching the gospel, I don't think he even had like a house where he was staying until he reached Rome, because he was always in this city, then the other city, then he enters one city, he preaches, they beat him up, throw him out, leave him for dead, he gets up and enters the same city, preaches to them, and then goes to another city. And there's another scripture where he talks about how he said, don't we have the authority? He was saying that us who preach the gospel, he said, we have the authority. I think it's 2 Corinthians 8 or 9 there. He said, we have authority to also take some of your carnal things. After sowing spiritual things into you, we should be able to reap some of your carnal things. Then he says, but we have not laid this burden on you. And even he named some of the things they would have. And he said, we could take along a believing wife like Peter, but we have not. So his staying single was a choice. It wasn't because they were not believing wives. It wasn't because he was not a good-looking brother. No, it's not because they had pierced him with so many knives. It's like, you know, at the gospel, Jesus, you're my friend, mend that broken heart. No. He decided not to take that advantage for himself, which he could have done anyway. You understand? Yeah. He could have preached, made the person believed, and then they marry them. Take along a believing wife. Yeah. Yeah, he could have used his authority to take some of the finances of the people because he had sold into them spiritual things. And he talks about do not muzzle an ox while it treads the grain. In other words, the ones who preach the gospel should feed from the gospel. But he decides for the Corinthian church, I will not take that advantage for the sake of Christ. At some point he says, lest the gospel be blasphemed. That they will be like, oh, they ate our money, then they took all our girls, and over what? Those preachers, what? So they decided not to do these things for the sake of the gospel. You understand? And then in verse 15, after explaining to you, you'll go back and read these things. In verse 15, he comes and says, therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. What mind is he talking about? The mind that counts all things loss for the sake of Christ. You understand? Yeah, he talks about it is still in Philippians chapter 2, verse, 14, where he starts about, let this mind be in you. It may not be 14, it might be later where he says, let this mind be 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he explains the mind. It says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And you know the purpose for which he came. He was in the form of God. He had advantages for himself, even while he was on earth, that he did not use because he decided, I am going to sacrifice that for the sake of this. Does that make sense? Same thing with Moses. The Bible says he decided to leave in Hebrews 11. He left Pharaoh's court with all the riches of Egypt. Because he was a prince. Yeah, he was an adopted prince. So he had authority and money. And God called him and said, I want you to come and lead my people out of slavery. And he's like, well, I could stay, but I'm a fight for the Hebrews. So he gives up the wealth of Egypt for the sake of the Hebrews that God was calling him to. Do you understand? Now, how many of you know here that God wants greatness for you? Okay, I see a few people. There are some people whose hands are still down. They're like, I know he wants it for me, but I don't want. Just keep it for yourself, Lord. In the last weeks, I've been to like 3 funerals. And one of the things I was thinking about is it's amazing that when you go to a funeral and people are talking about the person who has passed on, it's rare that you're going to hear them saying, he had 3 Cadillacs and 2 Range Rovers. He had 5 mansions in different countries. Oh, his shoes. Oh, the yacht. He had a private jet. And I believe you have been to some funerals. You may correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe for you, the one you went for, these are the kinds of things that the people who gave speeches, the kinds of things that they were talking about. Oh, his clothes. He used to dress so well. We are going to miss the clothes or the iPhone. We will. Do you know why they don't usually talk about those things? Because they didn't have an impact on them. They might likely talk about your car, saying, it didn't matter if it was raining and you were wet, he would slow down and put you in the car and drive you off so that you're not in the rain and all that kind of thing. The things that give you a legacy are the things that you use for others. You understand? You know Paul, because he sacrificed the things that would have made him big in his time but denied him a legacy for eternity. Does that make sense? So when he says, let this mind be in you as many as are mature, What God is calling you to is greatness that lasts beyond your time, beyond your generation. Do you understand? If you think of, like I said, when I was talking about Billy Graham, he died what, how many years ago? 2013, I think. No, that's too far. He died recently, about 2023. I don't remember. And you still know his name? And Apostle shared a statistic the other day how, while he was alive, he led 8 million souls to Christ. Now, after he died, the establishment he left has led 26 million souls so far. It's like more than triple what he did while he was alive. He leaves a legacy that even when he is gone, when you hear Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, it is not just one of those, I won't mention any other names. Yeah, it's because he has left a legacy that is still impacting other people. Does that make sense? When we say Paul, you feel like we are talking about a person who is still here because of how you're impacted by his ministry. Does that make sense? Even if you take it outside of church, you'll find that some of the people who are not Christians, whose names you still know, you know because of how their actions made you feel. They impacted on you a certain way. Does that make sense? You'll have an artist who booms while they're alive, and then when they are dead, you still listen to their music and it makes you feel a certain way. Does that make sense? But that, if you look at all these people, they have a common thread that runs through them. The other day I saw a video, and this girl was being asked, he was a model, Miss something, I don't remember. And it was a short clip, and they asked her, if you were to do anything, you were free to do anything, what would you do? And she said, I would eat food. I thought, that is the most honest answer you can find. Yeah. Because for her to win that position, she had to deny herself enough to slim herself to a place where the world can be like, now you are beautiful. We can vote you as Miss our country. Yeah. Yeah. People deny themselves things for what they consider important. You get. Hey, just go look through Hollywood and see the biggest actors, and you'll notice that there is a common thread. There are things they cannot do. They would like to, but they can't. Because there is a movie to act. For the sake of that movie, either they will thin themselves or they will spend their days in the gym or cut all their hair, which they spent their whole life whatevering. They go through so many different things. But at the end of it, they have the joy of having released a movie. Problem is that those things don't satisfy because there is bigger purpose than that. You understand? Yeah, that's why many people, even having pained themselves, at the end, they commit suicide and those kinds of things, because now they are realizing that the sacrifice I made doesn't seem to have some sort of eternal purpose. I am lacking something. And so they are depressed. You see, God designed that your life should find purpose in the sacrifices that are made, not in the comforts. You understand? Yeah, that's why you can wake up in the morning and watch your TV all day and end the day depressed. Yeah. And you're wondering why the ones who are not watching as much entertainment as you look satisfied and full. Because you have chosen the comforts over the eternal purpose. Does that make sense? And so that's what is said of Jesus, that he is the power of God because of the cross. And you know, there is no greater sacrifice than that. A man put his life on the altar and died You're not going to find a greater altar than the cross because of the sacrifice that was put there. Are you still with me? You can't just nod your head in agreement. Just so I know you're still... Hello, people over there. Just if you could just... And the people over there who... Us of these ends, we love you. I greet you, gallery people. Yes, I receive you in YXP in the name of Jesus. I need to start concluding. So... So God has designed that you find purpose in the sacrifices that are made. Does that make sense? That there is one end of salvation where Christ has died and released life and released grace so that you may have everything you will ever need for life and for godliness. And yet even after that release, you can live a life as though he never released those things, because you're still attached to Egypt. You understand? And your attachment to Egypt is denying you the things that were released in the spirit. Are you still seeing what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why he tells you to choose that narrow road. Do you understand? Yeah, that even if he released so many things for you, and the Bible says they are in the word. You know, he gives you the word so that you can see all his promises that are yes and amen to you. But because you have failed to sacrifice the 8 hours that you spend on Instagram, you don't know all the things that are available for you in the Word. Does that make sense? You'll find that in the Word he has promised that he will bless the works of your hands. But because you have refused to sacrifice the couch time in front of your TV, there are no works of your hands to be blessed. So now you think that God is not working for you and he's against you, but really, there is a thing that you have not denied for you to access the power. There are things that you have not counted loss that you may know Christ. Because he says, I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that's the power that was released. And then he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Because he says, for the mature, that is how your reality is. So you know that everything was released, but you also know on this end that there are things that you have to let go for you to be able to access what he has released for you. You understand? Yeah. Yeah. Like you could be married now, but there is a relationship that you don't want to let go. Or should we say relationships? Too much. I stop. Okay. No, but think about your life, and you will realize that where you are now is not the final place that God has called you to. Regardless of your achievements or the lack thereof, where you are is not the final place God has called you. There is greater and there is more. You understand? But your next step to the greater lies in a sacrifice you're yet. Does that make sense? Because you could pray, which is a big sacrifice. You're not sleeping, you're praying. And you pray and you pray and you pray. It's a good sacrifice and it releases certain things and certain peace and whatever. But if you don't take the next step of sacrificing your ego, you're praying for your marriage to be sorted. You're saying, Lord, my marriage, we are struggling. Please, Lord, send grace. Send rain from heaven into this marriage. Cool down that dry land. Over what? And you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, Father, the marriage. It's a sacrifice because you could be sleeping, but you're praying. But your ego has refused you and denied you the opportunity of saying sorry to that person, which could sort your marriage, but you can't sacrifice your pride. Because you have, you're managing that. Why is TJ leaving? He has gone to say sorry. You understand what I'm saying? That for your next level, there is a sacrifice you're yet to make. And usually it's that thing that when you think about it, you're like, how will they see me? That's the thing you need to do. You see what I'm saying? It may not be marriage. It may be something else. A business. And I don't know what you're failing to sacrifice for you to be able to take that next step. But you know. You know. Yeah. I was going to give another example, but it's too sensitive. It's okay. I've left it. Guys. No. I'm working for my life here. People will report me. They say, Apostle, the guy you sent. Let me stick to marriage because there I'm safe. Eh? You know that your husband likes you a certain way. They like you dressed a certain way. They like your hair made a certain way. They just like you a certain way. But you are a strong woman. Unmovable. Nobody can shake you. Okay. When your husband says, honey, can you do this style of hair? You say toxic masculinity. Now you're there praying for your marriage. There's a sacrifice you ought to make. Years are going, you could be married. But every boy that comes, you say no. Let me stay this side. Let me preach from here. What sacrifice haven't you made that is holding you back from destiny? That's holding you back from purpose. Right now you could be the worship leader. But you love sleep too much, you have no time for vocal drills. But you're praying, Lord, even me, let them give me a microphone. I feel like I have made that point, right? Sufficiently. Let me show you one more thing and then we'll be out of here. Give me Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 23. Let's start at 21, I think. At 21. So it says, let's read together. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised. So he's starting to tell the disciples about the sacrifice he's about to make. Big deal sacrifice that is going to change the world forever. And then what happens after he tells them? Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now you know it. Peter was bold. Anyway, he began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Then what did Jesus respond? But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You see, Peter spoke, but Jesus didn't address Peter. He addressed Satan and said, you are an offense to me. Do you know why he did that? Because this guy was telling Jesus, far be it from you. You're not going to die. You're not going to sacrifice. This is the one purpose that Jesus came for. It's what was said in his birth. He will save the world from their sins. That's the one purpose. But the devil knew from all the way from Genesis, he had been trying to fight this thing. He was trying not to get Jesus to come. But now that he's here, let him not make it to the cross. Like I said, imagine if Jesus hadn't died. Because that's what he was trying to stop right here. Don't go to the cross. And guess what? He chooses one of the bigger guys in a circle to convince Jesus not to make the sacrifice. Yeah. For every persuasion that you're receiving from I don't know whoever, not to make certain sacrifices, there is a spirit behind that persuasion. You understand? There's a spirit that's working behind it. You see, the scripture says, wives, submit to your husbands. Then a spirit says, you do not have to submit. You are a strong, dangerous woman. You also wear trousers in this relationship. There is a spirit behind every persuasion for you not to sacrifice. And that is the spirit of Satan, where Jesus says, you are an offense to me. He saw through it. You understand? Like everyone is doing it. Even you sleep around, we'll be okay. Just even everyone is doing it. They even laugh at you. You see, you're a virgin. My God, he's a virgin. But there's a spirit behind it. Yeah. And why is that spirit working behind that sacrifice? Because I want to show you another scripture. The last one, I think. I'm going to come and preach from there. John 12:23. Okay, it's not the last scripture. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Again, he's talking towards death. Then he even explains, says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. He says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will. He says, when the grain dies, it bears much fruit. There is glory and increase at the end of your sacrifice. There is honor at the end of that death. You understand? And the spirit that works against sacrifices knows. Because the Bible says that the angels tried to understand what the spirit signified about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. That when the sacrifice is done, there is glory that follows. When God tells Abraham, bring me your son, Abraham, bring me your son. At the end of that sacrifice were many descendants, many spiritual children. But the guy knows the glory that should follow. And so what he does is stop you from making that sacrifice for you to cross over to the next level. That there is a certain level that your finances should take. But it's locked up in the first fruits. It's locked up in the tithe. It's locked up in your giving. And so every time it's offertory time, there is a spirit telling you, you don't have the money. What about the rent? What about the children? What about all these other things? And then you don't sacrifice, but you don't realize you're remaining at the same level. Glories have you denied yourself by holding on to things you should have sacrificed long ago? What power have you denied yourself by holding on to sleep when you should have been praying? By holding on to food when you should have been fasting? You know, The other day we were there discussing. This one is sensitive. Let me leave it alone. I'm going to say it in a more. Want me to sacrifice myself? I'm not sure about the glories of this one, but. But if you eat, all that comes your way. No regulation whatsoever. And then you do no exercise whatsoever. There are glories that you're holding yourself back from. Including. You thought it, that's the thing. Your struggle will end when you make the sacrifice. You don't remember what your feet look like. Okay, let me leave this thing alone. It's forgive me. Yeah. There are glories that God has planned for you, but there are sacrifices you need to make. You understand? Imagine if when God called Apostle to plant this church, he had said, first of all, the marriage ain't working. I'm not going to plant no church. Okay, that's not how he talked. But it's a fun thought. The other day he had to record the video, and I thought the script should start like this. Yo, what up, people? It's your boy up more. And I thought, no, maybe it's just a fun thought. It's a fun thought. But imagine if he had not sacrificed his comforts, because church wasn't anywhere near his radar. Where would you be? In the zoo or in a museum. This is a player in its habitat. But you have a place to go, a missional community to belong to, because of a sacrifice that was made. Let me ask you, how many thousands of people are you denying an opportunity for greatness because you just have refused to start a missional community? God has been telling you, you know it, but you have refused. You think it's about you. No, it's not about you. That's why when you're praying, you don't sing songs, it's all about me. You understand what I'm saying? Because there are things that God will tell us to do, but we have so many comforts that refuse us from doing these things. And as a result, other people are lost because we fail to make the sacrifices. You don't know how many people God wants to use you to impact. You don't know what kind of legacy he wants to give you. How hundreds of years from now, if the Lord tarries, people will be saying, there was a man. There was a woman sent from God. May you not be like your great-great-grandfather that you don't remember. Of course, unless like he made sacrifices, then in that case, may you be like him. Where people say the name, they're like, huh, who? Ask your neighbor, what sacrifice haven't you made that is stopping you from progressing? Some neighbors looked at their neighbor like, don't talk to me. Don't bother me. You talk to me, I sacrifice you. Yeah, you have to come to a place where you realize that your life is not yours. You were bought with a price. It's not your own. I need to unpocket. Long ago, my deputy head teacher, when I was preaching for the first time in secondary school, said, you are dishonoring God by pocketing. But you see, when you wear trousers, you must needs pocket. For you can't really do it in jeans like this. Just you look rich. Doesn't matter if it's empty. Like he's holding his money just... What sacrifice do you need to make? Yeah. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 or verse 2 there. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That your reasonable service is... You come to a place where you're not your own. You get your whole life and entrust it with God. Walking up to the front for salvation is the first step. But after that, you live a life where every day you put your body on the altar and say, Spirit, have your way. What sacrifice do you need to make? No, seriously, answer yourself. What sacrifice have you not yet made?
My life is not my own. To you I belong. Give myself.
Just stand on your feet.
Life is not. To you, give myself, Lord. Life is not mine, to you, I belong. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Give myself to you. My life is not my own. I belong to you. One more time, life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself.
Sing, I give myself away.
I give myself. You can. I give myself away.
give myself. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself. We are already out of time, but there may be people in the room or watching online, and you have not made the first step of giving your life to Him, of receiving the gift of His grace, the gift of His righteousness. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning. There's a reason God brought you here today, on this day. I want to give you an opportunity to start a relationship with Him, because your greatness starts at that place. Yes, Jesus died and provided everything you'll ever need in life. But until you make that decision, your greatness does not start. You die and nobody remembers you. If they remember you, it's for the wrong things. So I want to give you an opportunity. And because we don't have time, if you could just help me talk to your neighbor as well. And ask them, have you ever made a decision for Jesus? And if there's someone in this room and you have not made that decision, I want to invite you to come to the front and stand with me, so you can start a relationship that's going to change your life forever. Is there anyone? I see someone over there. Come on, celebrate. Come. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself.
I give myself.
Come to Jesus. My life is not my own. Come to Jesus. We will wait. We will wait for you. I give myself. As they come, celebrate them in the name of Jesus. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, oh Lord. Sing it again. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. There are more people there who need to make that decision for Jesus. Come. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. Now, turn to the other neighbor, the one you didn't talk to. Or go find that other and ask them. For real, even with a serenading music, you've decided you want to. Tell them you don't have to stay small. In the galleries, are there people there? I need people to come and receive Jesus. Are they? Yeah. I give myself. We are giving the last boarding call. We will wait for you. This is an important moment. Yeah. Because you have no idea. Sometimes it takes long because the devil is telling the person, don't go, don't go. But we will wait for you and you will come. We will wait for you and you will come. So keep coming. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. The people this side, you've decided to leave your neighbors to stay. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. Come on, keep celebrating them as they are coming. Keep celebrating them as they are coming. My life is not my own. To you I belong. heal myself. Welcome. What a great decision you've made. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Good to see you.
Welcome. I'm seeing people still coming. My life is not my own. I give myself. Okay, you're just going to repeat the words I'm going to say. Because the Bible says you believe in your heart and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then you are saved. Simple like that. Just like that, you've started greatness. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. For sacrificing yourself for me. Today, I receive you. Take my life, do something great with it. From this day, I declare I am born again. Amen. You can celebrate better than that. Father, I thank you for these that have given their lives. I pray that anything that has been bothering them, it is sorted this day. It is sorted this day in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. I speak complete restoration in their families, in anything that concerns them. From this day, they are going to see greatness in their lives because you have entered the house in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you could follow Pastor Trevor over there, we just want to chat with you. Take your number so we can be in touch. Yes. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. Oh Lord. If you're sick in any part of your body, if you could just put your hand where the pain is. If you don't know where the pain is, put your hand on your chest and let us pray and believe God for healing for your body. Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. Thank you because healing is not something we have to beg for. No. You have already supplied that in Christ. You say that you did not withhold your son but gave him up for us. Say, how shall you not together with him freely give us all things? So I thank you because you already provided healing. And right now I speak to every person in here that has an ailment in any place. I speak to your body and I say, body, align. Align right now in the name of Jesus. I command the blood be cleaned in the name of Jesus. Any pain be gone in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Have you had fun? Yeah. Tell Apostle I did a good job. Wow. I want to do one last altar call. And if you're the one I'm talking about, come running fast. Like, don't take too much time so that we can finish the service. There are people that your significance is going to start when you start discipling others. Up until this moment, God has been there telling you, start a missional community. Your missional community leader said, start a missional community. Your zonal pastor came and told you. When Apostle kept preaching it. Today you thought it wouldn't be the example. Then I used it. And you're like, you know what? Eh? Let's do this thing. So if you want to start a missional community, and don't worry, we'll help you. Because it's not as complicated as it may seem. I want you to come up so we can pray for you. And then you will be starting. Come now. I shall wait. I will wait, even if it's one person or two, but I don't believe for small things. I'm waiting. Turn to your neighbor and say, even this one you've refused. Tell them, neighbor, the way God is trying to help you, you've I don't want greatness. Leave me alone. You are there. You will come. Thank you for coming. You're the bold one. Yeah. One day. I have two people. There are some people. You're still there. The moment I said missional committee, you're the one who sat down. You said, I'm not going. I'm waiting for like maybe two more people, maybe 20 more. Will you come today? Going once. Going twice. Ah! Going twice 0.5. Going twice 0.6. Going twice 0.7. Going twice 0.8. Going twice 0.9. Sold. Now, our first time guests, we don't do this the whole time. It's... Ah! The man of God has... Don't go and make a report on your blog and say those guys auction missional communities. Father, thank you for these that have come. I thank you that you have empowered them and made them able ministers of the gospel. May their missional communities grow rapidly, rapidly, filled with miracles, signs, and wonders in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Pastor Kathy is going to take you, and then... All right, let's pray as we close the service. Please go with Pastor Kathy. Father, thank you for the good time that you've given us. I pray that the word will bear much fruit in everyone that has sat under it, and I thank you that there's going to be fruit 100-fold. In the name of Jesus. And this week for you, you're going to increase only. There will be no accidents for you, no sickness for you, no lack. Your way is upward and forward only. As a shining sun, you'll be shining brighter and brighter and brighter to a perfect day in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming for Garage. See you next week, same place, same time. We have YXP starting at 11:30. Thereabout. So have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.